Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NATCO Pharma Q3 and nine months FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of NATCO Pharma. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of NATCO today, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Director and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. I now hand over the call to Rajesh for the management's opening remarks, post which we'll open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Hrishikesh. Good morning and welcome everyone to NATCO's conference call discussing our earnings results for the third quarter of FY25, which ended December 31st, 2024. During the call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I'd like to state that the material of the call, except for the participant questions, is the property of NATCO and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's express written permission. So we'll begin with the results highlights and then interactive QA session. I hope all of you have received the press release and financial which was sent yesterday. These are also available on our website. The NATCO recorded consolidated total revenue of 651.1 crore for the third quarter of FY25 that ended 31st December 2024, as against 795.6 crores for the same period last year. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 132.4 crores as against 212.7 crores same period last year. During the quarter, the contribution from the export formulation business was lower. However, the company expects healthy growth of business in the ensuing quarters. Thank you all. The results are all communicated. Now we'll take the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So we have this other income of 26 crores in this quarter. So what is that for? And if this was not there, we would have ended up doing a loss in this quarter.
No. Other income is primarily coming from interest income from the deposits that we have. And then we had a one-time gain from the land of sale of land, which was announced earlier. So we had a 90 crore one-time gain.
From sale of land?
So that was... Sorry?
From sale of land, 90 crore
gain? We had a pre-tax gain, yes. So the other income primarily consists... that sort of stuff is part of the business. 90 crore came from the sale of land. From 90 crore gain, pre-tax gain we have from sale of land.
Okay, okay. And why, I mean, the performance for this quarter was so weak this time?
We had practically no Revlimid from it. So I think completely there's no Revlimid this quarter. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why there's a weakness in the quarter. And we also had a lot of R&D expenses, which were continuing from the previous quarter. So I think that's the reason why there's a substantial R&D expense that is there in the books. And a lot of these projects that you start, you can't stop. Yeah? And based on your cash flow, there'll be a mismatch between your cash flow and the actual expenses. I think that's the reason why it's a little weak. It's a soft quarter. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But again, you know, we'll get a new allocation next year. I think, as you're aware, we'll get almost one-third allocation of the total market as per our settlement. And that will start kicking in the next quarter. I think we're confident that we'll do very well in the coming quarters. But, you know, this is an exceptional quarter.
Correct, correct. And so for this current quarter, can we expect, I mean, it would be better than the fourth quarter of the previous year? For this fourth quarter, March?
It all depends on, yeah, as I said, no, we've been allocated nearly one-third quantity. So it's all how it's distributed. But yes, yeah, I think I'm confident we should do
better. Better than the fourth quarter of previous year?
I don't want to say that, my friend. Okay, let the numbers come. We'll see. I think it all depends on how much we stock and sell. But I can tell you the next few quarters will be good.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Right. Next quarter.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Malhotra from CapGrow Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. A couple of things. One is Revlimid. Can you throw some light on volume, market share currently we have?
Right now, we don't have any quantity, my friend. That's why there's no sale in the last quarter. So we'll get one-third for next year. I think that's as per the settlement.
And that will start from the next quarter itself?
Yeah, just this quarter, this quarter.
This quarter, yeah, sorry. And second, can you also throw some light on the settlement, especially on the GLP-1 opportunity? I know we are tied up with Mylan and we have settled with Novo. But what is the total opportunity size for us and where are we? Is there any potential launch possible in 2026 in India?
I think the settlement date is confidential. It's not, it cannot be disclosed. It will happen. I mean, we can't talk about the launch, but it is not, it's not going to happen now, that's for sure. I think when it closer to the launch, we'll speak about it. The opportunity, I mean, we have settled one product. We didn't settle the other product. I think one, Ozempic was settled, I think. The weight loss one, I don't think. I think the diabetes one we have said. I think the weight loss we have not said. So one second. The opportunity, I mean, I think you know that the opportunity, it is, you know, it's a pretty good opportunity. Again, I don't want to start putting numbers and all. I think it's a pretty good opportunity for the company. I think I will limit myself for, at this stage.
Sure. What I failed to understand was, can there be a potential launch between US and India? Can it be on two different dates? Because patent expires in 31, 32.
The India launch, as you're aware, my friend, I think subject to regulatory clearances and other issues, I think March 26 is the India launch. So I think India launch will happen next year, subject to regulatory approval and other any other issues to be resolved. US launch, I mean, is a date which is, it's a confidential date. I can't answer that question directly. But yeah, it's not. As I said, I think in the near term, we'll look forward for the India launch.
Sure. And just to confirm, we will have the first 6 months exclusivity in this?
It will not be determined right now. We have a first to file. It will be determined at a later time, not at this time.
Okay. And also, one more product you have highlighted in this quarter is Risdiplam, which is a $3 billion and growing at a much higher rate. Could you also throw some light on where we are in that? And
we are first to file on that. And I think we have shared FTF. I think there are two filers on day one. So I think, so this we are, you know, we are working with Sun Pharma on this one. So it's a, we've shared profits on this one. So this will be, I mean, again, litigation is just it's early stage at this time.
Sure. And also the cash lying on the books, potential use of it. You have been mentioning about the acquisitions in the past, but any headway there, any leads or any comments you would like?
We are working on it. We're working on it. As of now, we have, as of December 31st, we have 3,264 crores of cash and shares, liquid investments. and we have about 241 crores of debt. So net cash would be about 3,000 odd. Yeah, so that's where we are.
And any leads on
and regarding use of it, we're looking at acquisition. As of now, it's just lying as cash.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Next caller, please. Yeah. We'll give an opportunity to someone.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Doshi from Tulsi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Rajiv. One question is that we have cash surplus, then how come there is this finance cost coming every quarter? And last time the guidance given for the current quarter was somewhat similar to the performance what we'll be doing in 23 December. But this is means where we, you know, where we.
I'll answer both your questions. Your first question is the guidance, and second question is the other one.
Other one is finance cost. When we are cash surplus, how
yeah, 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 yeah. I'll answer both the questions. I'll answer both the questions. One at a time. See. First is we thought that there'll be some quantity in December. Most of the quantity was sold off in September, and adjusted for the chargebacks, we didn't have any money this quarter. So essentially, we had no sale. We did better last quarter. So I think that's what happened. We can make an estimate, my friend. We thought it would be weak, but we didn't think it would be this weak.
Sorry to interrupt, Rajiv, but in Concall was in the month after the results of September, and that time you only told that yes, some sale will come in this quarter, so we'll definitely do better than the December 23 quarter.
And I understand, but I, you know, after hearing from our partner, they said that we had a chargeback and we had all the quantity was sold.
But there is no backup plan from the company that suppose this product doesn't come in, then the other product has to be concentrated.
We can't do backup plans, my friend. See, I think that question is wrong. I think we are here to state what the present financial position is. You can't have backup plans for revenue. You have what you have. And what you don't have, you don't have. I don't think that question is right. Okay. What you have is what you have. What you book is what you book. What you don't have, you just say that you don't have. That's how business works.
My friend, I
will not answer that question the way you. I don't like the way you're asking that question. It is what you have sold, you sold, and what you don't have, you don't have. You have to accept it. That's it.
Uh-huh. And about
thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia from Money Growth India. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv and Rajesh. Very quick question, just for clarification, just so I understand the limit sales. You mentioned, Rajiv, that in December quarter, you had moved up your quota. So does that mean you had front-ended sales in the early part of the year based on the allocation for the calendar year?
Basically, all the allocation that we have had, we have sold it off by September end. And we didn't have any further allocation. I think all of it was sold and there's nothing left. So I think that's
understood. And this year, you will get a fresh allocation, which is a higher number, for my understanding?
Yes, it will be about one-third of the...
Understood. And will this year be more evenly spread through the year, or you can't comment on that?
I don't want to answer that question. See, it's such a tricky question because what they sell is what they sell, right? So we will recognize income based on what we get. And you have to live with the volatility. That's the nature of the business.
I fully appreciate that.
Next question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My question is already answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
the next question is from the line of Raghav from Rajita Pharma. Please go ahead.
Hello, Rajiv sir.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So what will be the quarter four, sir? Like how we can expect the results for quarter four?
As I said, we'll get one-third allocation of the total market, and I think some portion will be sold in Q1. I think we'll have clarity from Teva, I think once, we'll discuss this when we get the Q4 numbers. And I think at this time, I don't want to predict
two approvals.
Sorry, my friend?
Two approvals.
Recently, we have got another two approvals on ANDA.
Yeah, we had two more approvals, yes. We had approval on Everolimus.
With Lupin and one with...
Say that again, my friend.
You have two more approvals, na, sir. One with Lupin and one with your marketing partner with Lupin and one with some other company.
Breckenridge, yeah. This Everolimus product, we TOFS got launched and Bosantan. Bosantan, the launch date is not announced yet. We'll announce close at the time of the launch. It's bound by confidentiality. And Everolimus got launched. I think the two generics on that product. It's us and Amneal.
Start from quarter four or quarter one of next year?
No, it launched this quarter. You'll see the benefit of that launch in Q4 of this year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gagan from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I hope I'm audible. Yeah, my first question is, Rajiv, you indicated that the R&D expenditure this quarter is elevated from your steady state or normal run rate. Can you enumerate, I mean, to whatever degree possible, you know, what would be as a percentage of sales a normal R&D run rate and what has been the case in Q3?
So basically what happens is, see, we are spending probably about 8 to 10% of our revenue as R&D, right? So when your quarter is soft, basically happens the expenditure that you start doesn't stop, isn't it? Basically what you're doing, you're making, let's say, a certain amount of surplus. So based on that surplus, you say that I'm going to spend this much money. But because the quarter is soft, basically what happens is the expenditure seems large relative to the revenue of that particular quarter. But you don't stop spending something just because you're going to have a soft quarter, right? I mean, what you're committed to spend. I think that's the reason why you have a mismatch in the earnings, and then you have that dip. But typically, it's about 7 to 8% of our net sales.
Okay. Right. And how should we think of, you know, your India business and the EM, you know, perhaps if one takes a three-year view, how are you strategizing for these pieces?
I think we have some good launches. So I think one big launch, I think as we've spoken about, Semaglutide is a very big launch. So we're expecting that it should do well, subject to regulatory approval and clearance. Another launch, which is a very interesting launch, is Rezdiplam. In India, we have litigated in Delhi High Court. The judge has reserved the matter. And hopefully, we have a positive verdict. We can launch that as well. So I think that's the product that we're looking at. We are the first generic on that. We're hoping that we'll be the first generic on that as well. So I think we have some very smart launches. I think if they come through, I think the domestics should do extremely well. So,
sure.
But again, it's all very product determined. I think these two will be the big ones in the next
The final one from my side on Semaglutide. Can you elaborate a little more, you know, on specifically in India, are you going in for both the injectable and oral solid? And, you know, in context of the purchasing power of the Indian consumer, how do you see these two, you know, oral and injectable evolving over a period of time? And are you backward integrated in Sema? So these are questions on the Semaglutide.
Sema, I think we've answered that. I think we're outsourced API. Second is we're focusing at this time only on the injectable. Oral, we're not looking at it this time. We'll look at it maybe later, but as of now, no. Injectable is what we're looking at.
Okay. In Canada, you will be there on the first wave?
At this time, we don't want to discuss about our export strategy. I think Viatris is our partner. I think once we have clarity, I think we'll discuss.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll get back in with you.
Thank
you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
My question was,
sir, I would request you to please use your handset.
Yeah, just give me a minute.
Is this better?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thanks. So my question was similar, I mean, on the R&D spend part, you know, I get what you mentioned. Would you be able to share what your, say, EBITDA margin was on a pre-R&D basis? Just trying to use this quarter to get some sense of how your margins could look on an ex-Revlimid basis. So that was the objective.
I mean, I don't want to get into that sort of detail. I think everybody keeps asking me this question. I think I've answered this question in the past, but let me answer it in a very general way. So I think R&D expenditure is based on the cash flow that you're going to have, right? So if you have good cash flow, you spend more money on R&D. If you have less cash flow, then you spend less money on R&D, or you try to do a partnership deal so that you can offset some of the R&D expenditure. So I think you're aware. I mean, we believe that this year we'll probably end up with about 1,800 crore-2,000 crore PAT, and that's our expectation. I think we're still hopeful that we'll meet the guidance. Even next year, I think our expectation is that we'll be able to do that. And then the question is, everybody keeps asking me this question, is what is it after 26 months, right? So what is it that we're going to have? I think we have spoken, and I think generally, I think we have said that based on how we have other products that are coming in 2026, 2027. We're also expecting that the emerging markets should do well. And we expect that our Crop Sciences, which is losing money, should improve. And so overall, we should probably see a drop. I mean, I think that's the elephant in the room. I think you have to accept that earnings will drop in 27 March. How much will it drop? I think that's the question, I mean, directly indicating. So it all depends on how you moderate your R&D expenditure and what kind of stuff that you are going to do. But you should expect, I mean, it's hard to see. I mean, I don't want to put a number to it, but you should expect a drop, a significant drop. But whether it'll end at 50%, 60%, I mean, it all depends on how that year goes. But you're asking me to predict my 27 March numbers, which I think it's a little difficult. I think we'll have more clarity on it from here from now. But sitting today, I would believe that, yes, I think that's the amount of drop that you should probably prepare for.
Hello. Fair enough. Yeah. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No. So then, yeah, just one additional clarification. You mentioned earlier 8%-10%. That's on annual revenue, right, that you mentioned that you have spending?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
The next question is from the line of Rishi Jhaveri from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. So I just had a clarification about the Revlimid. We are expecting one-third quantity this year. Can you give a ballpark market total size out of which we'll get the one-third share?
What is the ballpark size of the market you're saying?
Yes. Out of which we'll get the one-third of quantity.
One-third of, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you're saying.
The total quantity which we'll.
I don't mind.
Hello?
Yeah. I couldn't catch your question, my friend. Could you repeat that again, please?
The total quantity out of which the one-third quantity which we will get to do business this year, correct, in the Revlimid space?
Okay. It's one-third the size of the market, my friend. That's all I can say. Is that what you're looking for?
Agreed. Yeah. But what would be your view on the total market size? Any number there?
Market size? Then you're asking me to estimate the price erosion. I can't do that, my friend. I can't. I can say one-third of the total volume. I think that's all I can tell you.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. Next.
The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. Firstly, you mentioned that obviously, post-FY26, we will see some drop in the revenue because of the Revlimid. But other than the semaglutide in India, which are the bigger launches you are expecting? And my second question is regarding the olaparib timeline, if you can broadly speak about that.
We are at this time we're trying to pilot in multiple markets. At this time, it's very premature to come back with a timeline on our pilot. Semaglutide India, we already spoken. I think under RSD plan, we've spoken about India subject to how patent litigation goes. These are the near-term triggers for India. And export business, I think, is doing very well. I think Brazil and Canada, we're expecting a lot of approvals in our oncology portfolio. So I think we expect some good launches there. And we're doing reasonably well now in Middle East as well. So overall, our ROW business is doing reasonably well. And I think that will probably drive the base business post-26.
But Olaparib, can it come in FY27 or it is difficult to gear at this point?
It depends on which market, my friend. Some markets is open and early, some markets is litigation, so it's tough to judge. I can't give you anything.
In terms of US?
I can't answer that question. It's a para for litigation. I can't answer that question. Premature.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyansh Dalmia from Oculus Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Priyansh, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please. Due to no response from the current participant, we will move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Patri Vishal Bajaj from Bajaj Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah. Sir, I have specific questions on sequential earning of segment-wise revenue in export of formulation products. The basic reason I wanted to know that it has fallen below 25% if you take Q2 to Q3 of Q2 2025. So reason for this sudden fall, please enlighten us, sir. Thank you.
Because there's no relevant, my friend. I think that's a simple answer. Because there's absolutely no relevant. That's the reason why there's a fall. That's a big product for us, and it's not.
No, it is very significant on our earnings also. That is what. Is it the only reason or any other?
That is the only reason. That's absolutely right. Right on the money.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good day.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Praful Rai from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Any timeline you have for the launch of Revlimid? Semaglutide?
For which market you're saying?
India market.
So US is saying or is it
in India? India,
I think our expectation is March 26, subject to regulatory approval and settlement of other issues. I think
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead. Ms. Nirali, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please. Due to no response from the current participant, we will move on to the next participant. The next follow-up question is from the line of Gagan from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up. So in U.S., barring Revlimid, you have a good pipeline of 24 FTFs, if I have it correctly from your presentation. Can you, to whatever degree you're comfortable, can you share on the timeline of the launches and what would be the key ones, perhaps with, a 3 to 5 year time frame and, what could possibly be a ballpark revenue outcome from these?
That's a tough one. But what I'll do is I'll tell you by size what are the biggest ones that we have. So if you take a next, obviously all of them will play for the next 7 to 10 years. All of them will play out over the next few 10 years. But you want to start, this year we have Revlimid. And then we have Wegovy and Ozempic. Whenever that happens, but that's the next big one. And then we have Olaparib, that's a very big one. Then we have Erbitinib, where we are sole FTF. Then we have Adapitinib, which is where we are sole FTF. The ones which are shared as sole FTFs are probably the most valuable ones. Yeah. And I think that's what I would look at. And the ones that I mentioned, probably in terms of economic value, are probably the biggest ones. And like a mid-level value would be like, you know, Tarpil 10 milligram and Trabectedin. So I think these are like medium level, and Santan would be also medium level. But I think the ones I mentioned earlier are probably the bigger ones. Revenue estimations and all, it's tough to judge all these things at this time. But I think in terms of upsides, these are the big ones.
Right. I mean, would it be safe to say that if we keep Revlimid aside for a moment, you know, on the base business, these products can give you a handsome growth?
When they happen, yes, they should. Yeah, when they happen, yes.
Yeah, right. And second one on semaglutide, India. I mean, how do you see? I mean, what sort of scale do you see the market getting in the first year, or and then over perhaps 3 to 5 years? And you know, how does it impact perhaps the other treatment lines in diabetes in the market currently?
Honestly, I don't know. I think let the approval come in. I think once we get the approval and when we launch, and we'll see how, once the market forms, I think we'll be able to make judgments about what other things that you said. Looks like it's getting multiple, indications and multiple approvals in different settings. I think it's a very exciting molecule. Honestly, I don't know, my friend. I think once we launch and once the market forms, I think we can give you more color on that.
Okay. I mean, I think the innovators are, can I take one more, or would you rather that I get back to the issue?
Yeah.
So the innovators have also expressed their interest in, you know, launching in the Indian market, and perhaps they also want to preempt, some of the other companies and establish themselves. Do you see that, in any way detrimental to how, to the prospects of, NATCO or some of the other peers?
I think the innovator will obviously have his share. I think you can't deny that. But obviously, generics also play a very strong role because of the affordability element. For the record, my friend, the innovator has not launched the injectable product yet in India. I've not seen the product yet.
Right.
They only launched the oral, which is used, but I think most of the market is the injectable. So, as of now, we're not seeing the market because he has so much demand elsewhere that he has not supplied in our part of the world. So,
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next follow-up question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paris Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, as you mentioned, we have about 3,000 crores of cash, and probably by next year end, we would end up at around 5,000 crores or maybe around that. So why don't we, I mean, if you're not getting any options of acquisitions, why don't we do a buyback and reward our shareholders, and maybe even promoters can participate?
Good question. I don't have an answer to that question either. We are looking at a capital acquisition. I think my present position is that we'll just look at an acquisition. I've not thought of it yet. At this time, I don't have an answer.
Okay, because one
more
reason
position,
is...
stated position is that...
Okay, these are just my views. One more reason a buyback. I mean, maybe next year when our profits go down, okay, by doing a buyback, we are reducing our equity. So at least our EPS hit won't be so much. I mean, just my views.
Yeah, of course, you know, no harm in having a view. I personally feel, yeah, we'll make the call then, my friend. I don't want to make that call today. Give us some time. We have, I'm still looking, and I believe we'll be able to do some transactions.
Okay.
So, we'll make that call. I think if it is what you just said, I mean, that we're unable to do an acquisition, then yeah, certainly I think that is the way forward. But for now, I think the idea is that we'll use this money for acquisition.
Correct.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. And one of the previous participants had asked about the interest cost. I think that question was unanswered. So
I'll answer that. I'll tell you, it's simple math. It's 200 crores of debt that we have. About 100 crores is what they call foreign bill discounting. 100 crores are like tax payments that we make for the advance tax. So basically what happens is the borrowing cost of this money is around 6%. And the deposits are giving us 8%. So it doesn't make sense to break a 8% deposit which you can borrow at 6%. This nature of this money is short-term debt. It's usually payable in 60 days to 90 days. And generally, we get cash flow which pays off this debt. So that's the reason why we borrow. But it's not a large amount. It's not. It's, at any given time, it's not more than 200. Yeah. That's the reason why we borrow.
Okay. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next follow-up question is from the line of Chetan Doshi from Tulsi Capital. Please go ahead.
One thing, Rajiv. When this year we are going to make record profits, but our interim dividend is very, very less, 1.25 or 1.5. Is there any, are you waiting for much more profits to distribute to the shareholders? On a lighter note, please.
I'll give you my stated position. We believe that we'll do an acquisition. I want to preserve the cash for the acquisition. I don't want to give it off as dividend. We're giving a modest dividend. I'm aware of that. But okay. I'm waiting for an acquisition. So that's the reason why I don't want to use the cash on books. So I think I'm holding on.
And can you throw some color on the CropSign business, how it is performing?
It's doing about 15, 16 crores a quarter. I think it's still losing money. But we believe, I think next year, we should be able to break even. I think that's the objective. So I think we'll probably settle around, 130, 140 crores is the next year target, at least minimum. So I think if we're able to do that, I think we'll come close to a break even.
Thank you.
Based on the portfolio we have.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Just one question I had. So, how should we look at FY26 in comparison to FY25? Just wanted to understand what kind of growth should we pencil in for FY26? And do we expect
it all depends on the relevant price erosion. So I think that because it plays such a big role in our earnings, I don't know. I think it should do well. I think at this time we are thinking that we'll be able to maintain the same earnings that we have this year. But again, once we have clarity on how much erosion is, I think we can put more color on that. But so as of now, that's the base case, but I think hopefully we'll be able to, whatever I'm saying is all depend, it's a function of the price erosion. So I think we'll have more clarity as in the coming quarter, I suspect.
So should we take 20% on a conservative basis? So that is the guidance that...
I'll not fall into that trap, no. I refuse to give guidance. I'll tell you when it happens. When the numbers come, we'll share the numbers and then we'll see how it goes. Because it's hard to predict the distance.
Okay. And just on the fourth quarter, do we expect it to be weaker in the third quarter?
And say that again, miss. Say that one more time.
Should we expect the fourth quarter to be weaker than the third quarter? Because first half has been fabulous for our company.
See, we're getting quantity only in March, so it'll be you only have 1 month of sale. So I think we'll start off slowly and then, but I didn't catch the question. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, so I was asking, will the fourth quarter be a little weaker than the third quarter? So this is in the hindsight that the first half has been really good for the company. And given that 20% growth on the bottom line, so even if the fourth quarter is weaker than third quarter, we would still be able to achieve that growth. So it's just 1 month away from closing the fourth quarter.
It's hard to predict. I don't want to come and say something and then I'll be caught by a surprise. I can only tell you, what I know I'll tell you. We have a 33% allocation. We will launch it in March. And we believe that we should have a good year. And how much quantity we sell in every quarter, I think we'll just see how the market plays out.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish from Digita Pharma. Please go ahead.
Hello, Rajiv ji.
Hello. Go ahead,
Rajiv ji, good morning.
Go ahead, please, sir.
Sir, how are you, sir? This is Manish Lohia.
Yeah.
Sir, you have told about one third market will this March Q1 and Q2 sales. Are it will increase or decrease in Q4?
No, what's your question again? Can you repeat? Your question is Q4?
You have told that one third market will be there in Q4. Hello?
Yes. But it's, yes, correct, yes.
Up revenue. So, this will be better than Q1, Q2 or it will be decreased?
I think we have not answered that question, sir. I think what we have said is that we're getting an allocation. It will start off in March and we should do well during the year is what I've said. We have not given how much will sell in Q1, how much will sell in Q4, how much in Q1, we have not given guidance. We just said that we had one third of the quantity. That's all we said.
So Q4
and
will be...
It's a function of market share and market erosion.
Mm-hmm. And what is the size of Everolimus in Q4? And next year,
Everolimus total market is about 120 million. So there are two generics. So, and we have a 50-50 share with our partners. So.
So it will be impact in Q4?
So it should...
Huh?
Some portion of it will come in Q4. Yeah, some portion will come in Q4, yes.
Some of it, yes.
Some portion will come in Q4. And what about next year? You are looking
That's
good to this product?
Yes, with Everolimus, yes. Yeah, we are looking good. Yes, yes.
You are looking good. Now I am ending my this question along with one request. Can you look on the investor side also, sir, please? Hello?
Investment side,
Investors, please look on investors also, sir.
No, we are looking at investors. We are doing what is right for the company.
Invested in your company, seeing bright future. But result was very bad.
See, I'll tell you. Let me answer this question. See, one fundamental thing that you need to understand with us is our company chases big jackpots. And sometimes you're going to live with volatility. And they're so dependent on one particular event or one or two events happening, it causes huge volatility. If you're an investor in our company and you've been around long enough, you'll know that you will have volatility. But you look at it in terms of a long-term view, we have always delivered great earnings. It's just that sometimes you'll have quarters which are going to be difficult and you'll have probably a year or two when sometimes it's difficult. But the pipeline, the product filings are always very lucrative. And I think in terms of our gross margin, we're probably the best in the industry. But you have to understand that you have to live with the volatility. And I've said this many times, I'll repeat it one more time. You have to live with the volatility, and that's the nature of our model. And unless you're willing to accept that, you will always see these highs and lows. We are not the company which will deliver 10% Q1 growth, 15% consistent earnings. We are not that type of company. And because we chase jackpots, that's the nature of our business. There's always uncertainty. I think that's the way it is. Okay.
Thank you.
Next caller.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav from Rajita Pharma. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're the...
Yeah, please go
ahead. Hey, sir. Any good news for investor side? Like in future? Any
positive? We'll have a good year, my friend. That's all I can tell you. We'll have an excellent year. We are hopeful that we'll have a good year based on the assumptions we have made.
Yeah, not only the financial-wise, but also stock-wise, sir?
I don't control stock price. I can only control... See, my friend, my fiduciary responsibility is to tell you the way it is, what you're earning, what you're not earning, what is our jackpot, what is not our jackpot. End of the day, it is for you to value us based on what we are saying. Okay, next caller, please. Yeah, thank you.
The next follow-up question is from the line of Gagan from Ask Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So you indicated that you're looking aggressively for an acquisition. Is it possible to spell out, give some color on which areas or which markets would be priority for you? How are you largely thinking about the acquisition?
One is we want to strengthen our ROW business. I think that's one acquisition we're looking at. Another one, possibly is also to strengthen our US front end, because our US front end doesn't give much sales. So that's, if you want to strengthen that portfolio. I think these are two active areas we're looking at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sudhir Shah from Kotak Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. I got a very simple question. I was just looking at the trend. Generally, is it so that the Q3 is a little soft for us? Has that been historic, and what could be the probable reasons for this cyclicality?
Say that one more time.
Is the third quarter or the quarter that you have passed?
It's very simple. Actually, basically, what happens is you get a quantity allocation in Q1, in March. So basically, what you do is you sell some portion in March, you sell some portion in June, and you sell some portion in September. And if you have anything left, you sell in December. And usually, December tends to be the weakest, and your June and September tends to be the strongest, and March is probably the most moderate month. And if you have enough, so I think that's how it works.
Noted. Thanks.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Just one follow-up. You mentioned that next year growth depends on the price erosion on the Revlimid as well. So, something wrong, because I was assuming that price erosion will happen only once it goes off patent post January 26, or it can price erosion can happen even earlier also.
It all depends. See, there is some. I don't want to get into the pricing of the product. I think I'm putting my caveats out based on what I believe will drive the earnings. It's a function of the of the market and the market formation. So that's the best way I can answer that question.
Okay, but usually, let's say historically in other drugs also, have we seen the price erosion even before the patent expiry? Because right now it is controlled market only. So why would price erosion will be, happen?
There is some. I don't want to get into it, my friend. Teva is handling the marketing, and there's a lot of other dynamics, and other generics are also there. So I can't answer that question. But there is erosion. Hopefully, it will hold up to a point so that we can make some money. I think that's...
Oh, okay. Fine. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Patole from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So just quickly, what were the subsidiary sales in 3Q and for 9 months as well? Can you just provide some numbers?
Year-to-date sale of the subsidiaries is about 408 crores.
And 480 crores, okay.
408.
And for 3Q?
Q3 is 109.
Okay. So, on the any update you can provide on the Kothur site? I mean, where do you stand with the progress? Has there been any?
I think a remediation action is ongoing, and I think so as of now we are still supplying, but we have moved a lot of the key products to Vizag. So I think that's fair here.
Okay. That's
So, does that answer your question?
Yes, next caller.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kabra, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I have just one question related to, sir, at present we have 3,000 crores of cash, and by next year, as my previous participant told, that we'll be around 5,000 crores. So, sir, are we can we take debt also to take these takeovers that you talk about? Or
possible? Hello? We'll let the takeover happen, and I think we'll see how much cash we have to use, how much debt we have to use, all that stuff. We'll decide that.
Okay. And sir, you told that takeover will be from geography base, but in what sectors that will be? Can you just give some color on that?
I think we said no. I think one in the US market and one in the rest of the world market, not the advanced regulated markets, rest of the world market.
Yeah, but that is like geography front, but in what sectors, like formulations or...
Pharmaceuticals, therapeutic, prescription pharmaceuticals.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next
The
next question is from the line of Rusmik Oza from Nine Rays Equi Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my simple observation is, you know, this quarter, December quarter, we didn't have sales of Revlimid and we did 475 crores of revenue. Does it mean that in between March to September, we've done roughly around close to 2,500 crores of Revlimid sales? And because if you can, because the calendar year is end, the last calendar year, if you could just provide us an absolute figure of what kind of Revlimid sales we did last calendar year, it will help us to understand what kind of growth we'll see in this calendar year based on 1/3 market share.
I will not do a split for marketing reasons, for competitive reasons. Second question is, you know that you'll have 1/3 share. It all depends on the erosion that it's going to be. You can't predict last quarter sale with next year's sale. So that is not possible. We'll just see how the price erosion is and we'll see how we'll take it from there.
Okay, okay. Second question, sir. On the base business, any guidance you would like to give? What kind of growth you are anticipating for the next this calendar year or FY26?
I think the India launches we have spoken about, and I think we're expecting our ROW business also to do reasonably well because we have a lot of approvals expected in Brazil. Almost 7-8 approvals are expected in this coming year. And Canada also we're expecting some good launches. So, and Middle East also we're doing reasonably well. I think we should do well. I don't want to give a particular number, but yeah, I think, yeah, we should do well.
Any guidance on the agrochemical business? Because that's been quite volatile in the last many quarters. How do you see this panning out?
We believe, I think next year, our target is that we should at least break even. I think that's our target. We're doing about 60 crores a year right now. Our target is that we should target about 120 to 150 crores next year. So that will help us come closer to break even.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Vignesh, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning. I have a question regarding the current scenario in U.S. tariff. What my question is, in case the U.S. Laid some tariff on import on pharmaceutical products from India, will this impact our revenue? And if yes, what is the strategy we are planning to escape from this impact?
I think as of now, it's premature to answer that question, but it will affect the whole industry, right? I think because a lot of the manufacturing is out of India.
Yes, sir. This affects the whole industry, but what I'm asking is, do we have any specific strategy to escape from this, like expand to some other countries like that?
The only escape is you need to build, you need to buy a front-end and front-end manufacturing in the U.S. That's the only way you can go forward. The only solution. I think as the earlier we said, now we're looking at a front end in the US. So I think we're able to get a manufacturing asset also to make it interesting. But yes, I think that's the only solution to this, for which we don't have a front end manufacturing in the US, but that's the only solution if at all that problem would happen.
So we are ready to move our manufacturing in the US itself. That's what you are saying, right?
Some products you can. I mean, you can't do everything, honestly. It doesn't work out. But yes, I think you have to move some product to the US, I think, most probably. I think to answer your question, if there were tariffs and then what is your plan B, that would be your plan. Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Arun Malhotra from Cap Group Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just wanted to ask, what has been the price erosion till now on Revlimid from day one?
and number of players present?
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry, my friend. I can't answer that question. Next. Okay. If you have any other questions, please ask.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Chetan Doshi from Tulsi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Rajiv, something which you would like to share with the shareholders, which on immediate basis, some share up from the company. See, in spite of certain bad things happening, some good things are also happening in the company, which we don't know. If you would like to share something, we'll be very grateful.
I think overall, I think there's nothing. See, Chetan, let me answer. You ask me very philosophical questions. I'll give you a philosophical answer. I think what we're doing, see, my job is only to tell you what we're doing. I think we can tell you, like, this is the product that we have filed, and this is what we think the outcome is, and this is what is the volatility. And I think my fiduciary responsibility to tell you what we're doing. That's all I can tell you. And I think end of the day, we hope that a lot of the strategies that we pursue will work. And I think sometimes they don't work, and that causes volatility. It's the nature of the beast. That's all I can tell you at this time. Yeah? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll take my last question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Chaudhary, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, Rahul. Yes.
Sir, will it be fair to assume that ex Revlimid, our operating margins would be around 18 to 20%?
Whatever
other business we are doing, because I mean the numbers talk to me as if I think we are doing like an 18% operating margin if I remove the R&D that you talk about, because this quarter is like
it depends on the quarter. Yes, possible.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you have to forecast, like, asking us to do it 2 years later, ex-Revlimid. But, domestic...
Rahul, I've answered that question. So, basically, what I've said is that we should do well this year, we should do well next year. But you should assume in 27 that we should see a drop of more than 50 to 60% in our earnings. I think that's already there. It's factored in, and I think this has been told... many times,
yes.
That we should see it. And I think we have been telling that, I think you have to accept the volatility, because when something big goes away, it is going to impact. And we are very honest about it. I think we've been upfront about it.
I reiterated
one more time that you have to accept that this is how it's going to be. But you have to assume that we have these other products, and that some of them will come through eventually, and that you will see a period of volatility, but that's the way the business works.
So, but like you said, we have a fiduciary duty also to do what's the best. Last 9 years, if you look at the company's market cap, and we shareholders, we don't get any salaries or whatever. So we are working on the capital appreciation. So that hasn't happened. So do you think the strategy is still working? It must be working because you are earning. Yeah, because for 9 years, the strategy you have applied, I mean, that is where we are right now.
See, Rahul, what we are trying to do is, I think we try to maintain the best governance that we have, and we try to do the best we can based on what we believe the market is. If you look at our earnings, I think we're probably one of the best earnings in the industry in terms of EBITDA. I mean, our earnings will match any of the larger cap companies. The fundamental issue here is that there's an element of volatility that comes in our earnings. And it is the way it is. I mean, I don't have a better answer to that question. But what I can strive to do is that we try to build a business which is more stable at a base level by doing an acquisition, which we've not been able to execute, obviously. I mean, I'll be very honest about it. That's probably one thing we probably didn't get right. But I think we're trying to see what we can do to get that right. But having said that, in terms of our ability to deliver, I think we're probably the best. We've done as good as anybody else.
So my last follow-up, my question is,
yes,
I think apart from Revlimid now, what we are all looking forward to is the domestic opening up of semaglutide market, because I think that is the thing that is going to replace somewhat the earnings right now. So
yes.
So So where do we as investors get to follow up as to where NATCO is in the permission queue? How do we, I mean, which is the website or how do we get to know, sir? Because last I read that Sun Pharma and you had both applied and I think some waiver you've got because you've already done some global tests and all that. So how
you asked me, so I'll ask you, I'll answer the question. So basically what the DCGI has done is they've asked everybody to do a bioequivalence study. So we have done a bioequivalence study and we shared that data. Now we're awaiting the clinical permission. Sun and Reddy's, I think, have already started their clinical. And I think we are hoping we'll get our clinical permission shortly. I think everything is cleared. We're hoping to start. And if you start the clinical trial, then quickly we need to dose and show efficacy. Hopefully, we'll be able to complete this trial by end of the year. And then we submit for permission by end of the year. And all goes well. And regulatory permission, all issues resolved. Hopefully, we'll be able to launch it next year. I think that's the timeline.
All right, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. Again, great questions. Have a good day. Yeah, bye-bye.
On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.